In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
So we had a wonderful week at camp this week. A little sweaty at times, but that's what happens when you fill the chapel with 350 warm bodies and the AC goes out on a 90-degree day. And still, the campers and staff sang their hearts out. One of my duties at camp was to lead and facilitate a question and answer session each afternoon with a high school group. This year, I was assigned to 11th grade, Lily Falls Cabin. Most days, we'd split into smaller groups. They had a really large grade this year. Some days, I had the whole 11th grade together, which means I had a different selection of 11th grade teens each day. One thing I noticed, and this happens every year, that a certain topic seems to be in for whatever reason. It seems to be on everyone's mind. One year it might be current events. The next year it might be on prayer practices. Last year I was bombarded with questions on the meaning of various liturgical actions within our services. This past week, I had a lot of questions on whether non-Orthodox or even non-Christian people can be saved. What is their standing with God? Over and over I got this question from different groups. Can Lutherans be saved? Can Amish be saved? What about Muslims? Can they go to heaven? What happens to a Buddhist child who never hears of Jesus Christ? For whatever reason, this question was on the minds of many teens this week. Providentially, the gospel passage of the pagan centurion falls in our lap today to give light to this question. Can non-Orthodox or even non-Christians, people out there, can they find salvation and receive eternal life? The short answer is yes, of course. Of course. But a slightly longer answer, which I will share with you today, will touch on how that salvation is received, and in particular, two vital qualities that lead to eternal life. In today's gospel passage, Jesus is approached by a pagan centurion, one who Luke tells us was friendly towards the Jews, but someone whose theology was still what we might call out of whack. He still had these pagan gods that he worshiped. And yet he asks Jesus for help. Please heal my servant. Jesus offers to go to this man's house, but the centurion says, not necessary. Not necessary. I believe in the power of your word. Just as I have authority over soldiers, I believe you have authority over life and death. And Jesus marvels. He's amazed. The Son of God is amazed. And he says, not even among the people of God, not even among the chosen people, have I found such faith as I find in this pagan, in this outsider. And so the servant is healed. So the first thing we would say is that an outsider, however you would define that, an outsider who finds life is still finding it exclusively in the work and person of Jesus Christ. This man found healing not among his gods, but by coming to the Savior. And even if his theology is bent, even if someone has never heard of Jesus, their salvation still comes in and through Jesus Christ. It's not like there are other paths to life. It is Jesus Christ. This centurion, though pagan, had a heart open to this person of Jesus Christ. When he encountered love and when he encountered light in Christ, the centurion accepted it all. He accepted the one who is love and light. And salvation may not require knowledge of Jesus Christ, but it certainly requires a heart open to the one who is love incarnate. The second life-giving quality this centurion had was compassion for his fellow man. This centurion, who had 100 soldiers at his beck and call, and we find out he had servants and slaves, nonetheless took his own time. and made his own effort to locate and go to Jesus and to beg mercy for his servant. He took the effort to do this loving task himself, even though he could have sent someone to find Jesus for him. And a servant in those days was lower than even an employee would be in modern times. The servant class, they were like non-citizens. They were often a different race, possibly a different religion. They were likely from a conquered nation. They were a dime a dozen and easily replaceable, almost universally beneath one's notice. And yet, this centurion saw the humanity in someone who was socially far beneath him. It would be like a CEO of a corporation in our day personally searching for help for one of the company's janitors, but more so, more so. Everyone who witnessed the encounter would have noticed what was going on immediately. Compassion for someone who is in multiple respects different from me, and in ways that could easily be looked down on, that kind of compassion is holy and life-giving. And notice the two qualities that appear in this pagan centurion in our story. He has a heart open to Jesus Christ and a heart open to a fellow human being. It might remind you of the two great commandments on which hang all other spiritual laws and prophecies. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Even though this centurion did not have great theology, and even though he wasn't a disciple or even a Jew, he had a heart for Jesus Christ, and he loved his servant as himself. And then, lest there be any remaining question about whether outsiders can receive life, Jesus pronounces these words. He says, many will come from east and west and sit at table in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons and daughters of the kingdom will be cast out, will be left in darkness. Many outsiders are going to get in, and some insiders are going to be left out. And notice Jesus says, many will come from outside. Not just an exemplary few at the top, but many will find life, having a heart open to their neighbor and a heart open to Jesus Christ. Even if they didn't know his name in this world, their heart was still yearning for who Jesus is. And similarly, being a child of the kingdom currently is no guarantee of salvation. You know, some people claim Christ or stay in the church for all kinds of reasons other than love of Jesus Christ or love of neighbor. But only love leads to life. A recurring question among the 11th graders at camp this year was, what happens to the outsiders, whether Lutherans or Amish or Muslims or that Buddhist child who's never heard the name Jesus? What will be their standing with God? Well, today Jesus answers, many will come from east and west and sit at table in the kingdom of heaven, while some children of the kingdom will be left in darkness. Those who find life, then, will have the qualities of this pagan centurion. A love for neighbor, and especially those neighbors most different from myself, and even greater, a heart open to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen.